Charlie Foxtrot. It's the Stargate Universe podcast because that's what the whole world really needs. I'm Boom.
I'm Cetra.
And I'm kind of excited to talk about this episode. How about you?
I'm so excited to talk about this episode.
Wait, which episode? Light, right?
Light. This is Light that we're going to watch, which is the second half of the Darkness and Light kind of combined plot.
Right.
I love this episode. It's one of my favorites.
I do,
maybe,
too.
Maybe in the whole series, yeah.
I think what it's really good at is making sure you understand just how complicated every single character is. And it starts right with Greer's documentary at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, would you expect Greer's, like, little confession to be like, I want to go out like Ziggy Stardust, man?
No, but it makes me feel so much... Like, I already liked Greer,
right.
But I think my first time through, maybe I didn't feel a lot about him. It just, he's just so matter-of-fact and, you know, realistic about what a mess his life is.
Right. Well, no, I'm the same way. Like, Greer obviously was not my favorite because I liked Rush from the very beginning. And, you know, you tend not to like the guy that kicks... Even when your favorite
yeah.
character is being a bitch. Like, yes, let's be fair. Rush was being a bitch. But still.
But was literally kicking him when he was down.
Right?
So.
But I, on the rewatch, I really appreciate him so much more. And this documentary is, it really clears it up. Like, it's obvious before, but for some reason, when you watch Greer the first time, you just think he's this one-note hard-ass that just wants to survive. And obviously he's done little things that suggest that he's not totally black and white about that. But just having him be like, yeah, dude, go yeah. die on a star. Pretty sweet.
And it's so, like, I can only hope that, you know, when I have to die, whether it's an eventuality or a situation this dramatic and terrible, like, you can put that spin on it, right?
Right.
Like, you know what? At least we're going out in the best possible way.
If we're gonna die, at least it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah. I'm gonna fly into a freaking star. And it's weird because you can tell that he's also has some kind of, like, faith background.
Hmm.
But it's not right on the surface the way Scott's is.
Right.
It's way down deep inside that hard ass. And I don't know.
Well, I guess if he... I never thought about him having faith, but I suppose if he did, it's so deep-seated that it actually is a comfort to him, whereas with Matt, he's so unsure. He has to... It's like his last...
Yeah.
It's his Hail Mary play to try and de-stress and feel good about a situation.
Yeah. Well, and I only say that because most people wouldn't say, like, to move on to this world or the next or whatever comes...
Oh,
you
that's
know,
true.
Unless you believe there's something there afterwards, so.
I guess. Anyways, after that, everyone meets in the Stargate, and I just like how Young is just, you know, bad day.
Yeah, I love it. You know,
he's so
last episode. Yeah, last episode he started by saying, let's have a better day than yesterday, and man,
yeah.
are they not having a better day.
But it's such a good indicator of good command, though, because if you break it down to, like, the most base form, like, the most dealable form, which is, you know, let's just make sure the day's okay. It gives people purpose.
And that's really as far as they can go right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, they don't know what the next day is going to bring.
Right.
But he can try and keep people motivated for another day and keep them, you know, communicating and functioning and...
Yeah. I like that he did say it sucks.
Yeah.
So that's when he decides to do his lottery.
Yeah. I love that he just blazes on through this statement, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
here's the facts, here's what's going to happen, here's how we're going to sort it out, and everybody starts, you know, oh, well, we know who's going to get off the ship. And he goes, well, it's not going to be me.
Right.
And it just, like, immediately shuts down this dissension and, like, you know, we're doing what we can.
I don't know. I understand it, what he's doing. Like, the whole lottery thing and, you know, sending out
yeah.
shuttles and everything like that. But I do like that there is a dissenting opinion about what should be done, and it comes from Camille later on. I don't know. I keep trying to put myself in this situation, and I just can't. I just don't know how I would react. But I like seeing sides to it, you know, with Spencer being mad or Camille being just annoyed that maybe you should actually just choose the people who have the best chance to survive, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it when that conversation happens with Ray.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of, because I think she went into that meeting with an intent and a purpose.
Yeah.
And he turns it back on her and shows her how selfish she's being. Because she, in some ways, it seems like, wants to do exactly what Spencer or other civilians are accusing them of doing, which is like, well, you and me because we're leaders, and then these people because we like them.
She was honest about it, but she wanted a more... I mean, she was honest in that she said, well, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, yes, I would like to be on that list, but I'm not saying I should be.
Yeah, but she was doing it to try and... Basically telling him, like, you're a shitty leader because you're not making this decision.
Right.
And he was able to put it right back on her and go, okay, if you were a leader, what decision would you make?
Right.
And she immediately balked. And
that's
like,
true.
Yeah, like, if you think you're that good of a leader and you're that important, you should have those opinions.
Well, no, I mean, he did totally cut her down. Like, even in the end, like, that I really feel is a dick move to threaten to take her off that list. And basically make her beg.
Yeah.
To stay on it.
Well.
But, I mean, yeah, he did what he did. It wasn't bad or good, in my opinion. I just thought it was interesting to have those different conceptions be put forth.
Yeah.
I like that Rush through that whole thing is like, eh, whatever. I'll just hide out in the shadows.
Rush silent and in the corner and just watching, as per usual.
I couldn't determine what Eli was feeling. I never could. I think he's more torn than he says he is.
Yeah. I mean, we get this beautiful kind of montage of Eli realizing that Matt and Chloe are together now.
Yeah.
They go sex it up. We see... Is it Spencer with the pills?
Yeah, Spencer with the pills.
So clearly there's something going on with him. Like,
well, there has been, because on those documentary, the last episode, he was like, I don't want to die out here. Fuck everything.
Yeah, well, but James said the same thing, and there's nothing medically wrong with her.
That's true, but Spencer, I believe, in the past episodes, has the most... James only rebels in private, whereas he is public about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but you have Spencer. Greer takes a lot of charge. He just takes charge. He doesn't care.
Yeah, and it's real clear that Greer basically is planning to stay. He doesn't explicitly take his name off the list,
but
he's clearly functioning as though they're trying to take care of other people.
Yeah, so I just like how complicated it makes his character, because...
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel sad that I didn't understand how deep he really was the first time I watched it. But it's always because he gets kind of put into this, I'm not going to say bad guy role, but the listens to the hierarchy no matter what kind of person.
Well, and to some extent, we're used to a situation in Stargate where, you know, the scientists generally have a better idea and they end up fighting the military complex.
Right. And the scientists usually win.
Yeah, or there's the couple of rogue military people like John Shepard,
right.
who are good, but Greer definitely fits himself into that much more default military person.
Right.
And that makes you sort of automatically write him off when you're in a Stargate state of mind.
No, I think that's a good point. Thanks. Yay.
Yeah.
Man, SGU, you're too good to be in Stargate sometimes. So we did talk about Camille with Young.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
I mean, they're just... Young is so tired, and he's making a terrible decision.
Right.
And we, you know,
there's
we only see...
There's no good decision.
There's no good decision. And we only see this conversation, but we don't know how many other people, right? How many people under his command...
Right.
Came up to him before this or after this and said, oh, I used to hunt with my dad. I'm really good at this. You know, trying to sway the things in their
no, that's fair.
Direction.
I think you're right. Lottery is the right way. I just, as I said, I just like there being a dissenting opinion, because I don't think hers is totally wrong.
Well, no, she's not totally wrong. And there are...
It's a bit of an ad hominem attack, honestly, a logical fallacy to say, well, you're doing this for selfish reasons. Her point could still have a good point.
Yeah. They both have good reasoning and good points.
Yeah.
But
Young's the leader.
It's just, yeah, Young's the leader. It's setting up a lot of the conflict later.
Yeah.
And it's...
this episode is a blessed reprieve, and then they take it away. You know, like the conflict between Young and Rush. You're like, oh, they're finally getting along. Oh, never mind.
I think the thing with what Young is deciding to do, and Ray being kind of a devil's advocate, challenging his authority here, is that if he had done the other thing...
She would have done the other.
If he had done exactly what she's recommending and said, you know, I'm choosing the following people with the strongest skill sets, you know, I'll announce that in an hour, she would have been right at him, like, that's not fair.
It's favoritism.
You know, it's favoritism. You obviously, the military is going to be better trained. You have to give the civilians a chance, you know.
Well, then maybe we could just suggest that, you know, Camille was concerned that he didn't take enough advice into... or other ideas into consideration. And she was, you know, obviously she had the selfish reasons thing, but maybe this was just her making sure he had thought through what he was doing.
Yeah. And maybe that's it.
I doubt it, but I'm going to say it is for my own peace of mind.
I do hate that he threatens her at the end. He doesn't look super happy about it either, but...
It's heartbreaking to just see her...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I wouldn't be strong enough to say, fine, take me off the list, asshole. Like, I don't know. I do have this problem where people prescribe things on me and I do the opposite because I don't like being told what to do. Or if they think that I'm going to do something, like, you know, if they try to pull reverse psychology on me, I'll do exactly what they don't think I'm going to do. So,
yeah. I mean, this is one of the first times we've really seen something deep and meaningful in Rey.
Right.
Besides, you know, being kind of a de facto civilian leader.
Right.
Like, clearly she wants badly any chance to live.
Right.
And that is actually a big deal for her character. So maybe that was the point of the scene. Maybe that's why it was
No,
there.
I think that's perfect. Yes, I like it.
Okay.
So next, Eli flashback.
Yeah, Eli dreaming and whether this is a real flashback or something he's remembering, like, obviously his mom wanted him to do something with his life, and
right
now and that now he is look at the pile of mess he's in.
Yeah.
Eli wakes up and has this moment, and he does look at the kino and start plotting, and then it's Chloe and Matt talking post-coitus.
Yes.
And Matt seems super convinced that obviously Chloe will be the other person that gets chosen.
Is he a moron?
Clearly, yes.
Or he's one of those people who thinks that optimism, even when there's no chance of it, is just better for people's stress and emotions, which is not really true, but people do it all the time.
No, I absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
I'm certain that he is that person that's like, you know, Chloe needs to hear that she's safe, so tell her she's safe.
Yeah, even though they all know it's not real. And that, I mean, Chloe doesn't, at least she shows that she doesn't appreciate it, really. She's like, dude, I'm not gonna be it, so.
Well, I love that, so Matt's just had sex with this girl. He's trying to be romantic, and all he can come up with is, well, you're a senator's daughter. He probably has been ordered to make sure you live. I'm like, great, you think I have no other useful skills. Thanks, boyfriend.
I don't know. When I think about this coital speech and talking or whatever, I just think about the difference between James and him and Chloe. And I kind of wonder what makes him think he can treat people one way and other people a different way.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has a little bit of that kind of Madonna whorey sort of complex. Like, you know, clearly if James was willing to have sex with one commanding officer, or I guess he's nearly at the same rank as her.
Yeah.
Maybe that is a reputation she had around base or something, and he felt like he didn't have to treat her well. I'm not sure.
Well, if that's his thoughts, fuck him. Like, you don't have to be her boyfriend, but you at least have to treat her like she's a human being.
Yeah.
You saw her vagina, you a dick.
Yeah.
Anyways. Then it's Eli talking about leaving a message in the bottle, right?
Yeah, so Eli's talking to Greer and people and actually making an important decision, which is to send this Kino out to see the outside of the ship.
Right.
Which I think is very important for other things later.
Yeah, it'll be cool. I mean, I've already seen it, but it'll be cool.
Yeah.
Then it's the Chloe documentary, right? Like her little speech to the Kino.
Yeah, because she and Matt walk in and are like, well, we want to leave messages. And
right.
Eli is very fervent that that's actually something that's important.
I think it's important. Which I like. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that he believes so strongly that leaving anything behind is important.
It is. It always is. That's why archaeology is so important.
Yeah.
But yeah. What's interesting to me about Chloe's little spiel is that she says her father gave his life to survive another day, and they did survive that extra day. So I'm trying to think, like, what day is this? Is this 4 or 5?
I think this is probably 3.
3, okay. And Young has already improved this much in his ability to walk.
Yeah, he's definitely getting better.
He's like Superman.
Yeah, he's a colonel in the U.S. Air Force.
I think there are extremes. And Young is well on the other side of that extreme of what a human body is capable of doing. I mean, I think he would still... I mean, granted, we figured out that he must not have had a concussion because obviously he's still functioning properly and not sleeping for long periods of time. And, you know, he seems to be walking around fine without throwing up and getting dizzy or nauseous and blah, blah, blah. But there's no way he would stop limping. I mean, yes, he's using the gun cane, but there's no way he would stop limping as much as he's stopped limping in 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what amount of painkillers TJ does have.
Oh, that's true.
And presumably he would be a priority.
Oh, but not Dr. Franklin.
Yeah, well, Dr. Franklin's not in command of the whole situation.
That's true. But that sucked for him, getting that bullet out.
Yeah, poor thing.
Anyways.
This is why Brody starts refining alcohol eventually.
Yay, Brody! I love the next part.
Yeah, so we actually have an honest-to-God civil conversation between Rush and Young.
It's probably the most civil ever, and ever will be.
Yeah, it definitely is the last one for a while. I mean, so what we learn is that there's 3 planets. They can only see 2 of them on scanners right now.
Right.
One is way too warm and one is way too cold for human life.
Right.
So there's a good chance that...
the other one could be in the Goldilocks zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that, you know, it actually is just a really fucking cold planet itself.
Yeah. And you have, you know, you have Young throwing a couple of other ideas out at Rush, and Rush being sort of respectful that they're not terrible ideas, but there's nothing they can do.
Yeah, unlike poor Volkner. Here's some ideas I'm throwing out. Fuck you!
I think, so yeah, it is day 3.
So Rush has slept by now.
Well, yeah, Rush passed out for 16 hours.
Yeah, yeah. So he's actually feeling quite energized.
Yeah. I think that was last episode, right?
When he had a
conniption fit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think he's finally realizing that he's not going to get to have the ship all to himself.
Right.
But Young did do what he told him to do when he told him to do it.
Right.
And so he's finally trying to play politics and be a little nice.
Right.
With his given leadership.
I just like that all it takes is impending death for both of them to apologize to each other.
Yeah.
At least to me, I saw this as them both apologizing, like, hey, sorry, I didn't listen to you. Hey, it's alright, it wasn't gonna change a thing. Sorry, I was a dick.
Yeah, I mean, there was that short scene last episode where Young was like, you don't have to apologize, and Rush goes, well, I wasn't going to.
But and now then he is.
That appears to have settled it. Like, we're just both going to be kosher. We're going to treat each other with respect. And it's here that Rush abdicates his...
Right.
you know...
Well, no, no, they both apologize in this scene. I know they do, because I wrote it down.
Okay.
I know you're watching it right now as we're talking, but he'll get there. So it's you know, it. Rush, I only care about the ship, it's his destiny, but... his life's work. Young's like, sorry, yeah. I didn't listen. And Rush is like, it's all right, man.
Okay, we haven't got there yet, but okay. I do, I love Rush's, I love Rush's monologue about destiny, yeah. how important it is to him, and that this is where he wants to be.
Right.
And
that gets him respect with Young. I don't know if he planned that, but it worked.
It's, yeah, I mean, it depends how much of a master manipulator you think Rush is.
Okay, we're going to talk about that later, but I have a lot of theories.
Yeah.
Ray's next.
So, yeah, Young tells Rush who he's picking, and Rush is surprised that he's sending TJ, but of course he's sending TJ, she's a doctor.
Right. Duh. Well, I mean, that makes sense. Matt and TJ, those are the two that have to be there no matter what. You wouldn't leave that up to a lottery. So.
Yeah. I mean, and it's both completely justified. Matt already did the math for himself because he's the only other person that can fly the shuttle.
Right.
And TJ makes perfect obvious. Sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So with Rey, I think we figure out why she is clinging to life so much, and it's because she loves Sharon.
Yeah. And is this the first time we find out that Rey is a lesbian?
Yes.
That's amazing. Yeah. Hooray.
It's not her defining characteristic. Hooray!
No. Yeah, no. She's just a lady. She's just a lady. And the person that she loves and wants to leave a message for happens to be Sharon.
Yay. I think that was pretty big 5 years ago. Like, I still think it would be big today, but not as much as we're starting to include more LGBT characters that aren't there just to be an allegory for how much life sucks when you're LGBT. But I think in 2009... this is kind of a big deal.
And for it to be completely just, like, a statement that has, you know, it hasn't been telegraphed through who she is at all.
Well, she definitely looks like someone who keeps work and personal life separate very strictly.
Which is, I think, a part of why she and Young are able to work well together when they are doing it, because they both focus on the situation and,
Yeah, she just kind of ping-pongs around with who she works best with. Anyways, so the lottery happens, and I'm ecstatic because Dr. Park has a chance to live. Oh, except she doesn't later on, but yay, Dr. Park!
Well, yeah, I would be very interested to see how this crew of people would have fared on a planet that was slightly better for them.
You mean with Brody and Riley, and yeah, that should have been okay.
Yeah, I mean, you've got people that are young enough and energetic enough, and definitely, like, you know, even if the claim would be that Rey doesn't have a lot of skills, like, actually keeping people organized is a skill, and being willing to get in there and get your hands dirty and do what's necessary, which I definitely feel like she has.
Right. The thing I love most about that scene is when they go up the stairs, they're very slow, and once they're out of sight, they just run.
Yeah.
And that's it's what we all would do, but you wouldn't think about it until you see it, you know? Like, I think if they were actually staging it and someone wasn't really thinking it through, they would just have them walk on the ship and be done, but it's so important to me that they added in that little extra, like, them running and just being so grateful and almost worried that it's going to leave without them.
Yeah, it's such a human thing of, like, you're in this somber situation, but once you're on your own, like... Yeah, of course, you want to get there as quickly as you can. And I like also that, you know, everybody that could have a bag has a bag kind of packed up with whatever there is of theirs.
Right.
I think Park and Rey both have kind of purses, and Brody does as well, has like a knapsack.
Yay. Park and Brody, yay.
Yay, so, science.
Eli gives Riley the ball.
I like the balance. There's a moment of communication between James and Scott when she gets to the ship.
Right.
Where he, like, rather than having her sit down, he kind of, like, has her stand guard. Which is, I don't know, it's a good... He knows her and he trusts her.
It's almost the same... So, she gets called when she's standing guard by Young, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, do I guard still, or do I go on the ship? And he's like, go on the ship. So it's interesting that when she gets to Matt, he's like, go stand guard.
I mean, it's she is important in this, yeah. You know, in this structure, this chain of command. She is someone that they trust and
right.
Know is reliable. It seeing her leave with her weapon and her full combat gear made me wonder, like, have they put other weapons on the ship already in terms of supplies?
I don't know. I wonder if there's anything to hunt out there.
Yeah.
Who knows? But it doesn't matter because we'll never know.
Yeah, we'll never know what would be on that ship. Giant ice dinosaurs.
Right. I really, really like next about this scene is, you know, Spencer gets annoyed, as you would expect Spencer to be from what we know of him, and tries to kind of incite a riot. And I think that crowd could have gone either way, and it was Greer just knocking him out.
Yeah.
That really hit home, like, yeah, we shouldn't do this. And I just love the scene while everyone, like, there's the countdown's going down, and everyone's shuffling away and, you know, being depressed because they have to go to their room and wait to die. And then Spencer's just sprawled out on the floor being ignored.
Yeah. I love how matter-of-factly Greer did it, too.
He's always like, matter-of-fact. He's like, okay, I'll shoot Franklin.
But specifically in this circumstance, like,
right.
Knock out the military guy, and I don't think he would have done that to a civilian.
Right.
I think he would have handled it slightly differently, but...
Right.
And just totally straight-faced, totally serious, like, I don't want to have to do that. Yeah. And obviously the threat is, you know, I will. But it's also just, like, everybody take a second and figure out what you're really doing here.
Yeah.
Because you're right, people could have panicked, people could have thrown a crazy, you know, fit riot, and all they would have done was hurt one another.
Right.
Nobody else would have made it to the ship.
No, Greer stepped in, as Greer tends to, now that I'm thinking about, unless he's, like, under under the influence of an awful space lice or whatever. He does tend to make the crucial decision at the right time.
Yeah. And I think that's part of why he's one of the people that Young and Scott just trust implicitly.
Yeah. So we get to see what we already knew what the destiny looked like, but isn't it, I love this scene where they go to watch the shuttle launch, right?
Yeah.
Like, Rush didn't even bother going to the lottery to see who made it.
Because he already suggested his, his solution, which is halfway between Young's and Rush's. Tell them it's a lottery, but fix it. So that the right people go.
You mean halfway between Young and Camille.
Oh, Young and Ray's, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that actually almost lost him respect with Young.
Oh, it absolutely did.
Like, wait, come on, you just got back onto equal footing with Young, and then you pissed him off.
I thought this was a good idea. So the shuttle pulls away, and they're watching Eli's Kino feed of the outside. Rush was already in observation when the other sort of main characters trickle in. And it's at that moment that I think Rush realizes why they're flying into the sun.
You think
so? Or why he suspects they are.
That could be it.
The end of the episode implies that maybe he knew all along. I don't think that's true.
Oh, I don't either.
I think he definitely wanted to believe that Destiny wouldn't have just accidentally arrow-braked them into the sun.
Do you want to talk about it now? Because I can tell you what all my thoughts are. Or do you want to wait till that scene?
we've got a bunch of, like, drama to talk through if we want.
Okay.
The ship and...
Well, I mean, we can finish this scene up real quick. I think it's interesting that you think that might be where he starts to realize it. Or maybe he starts to have more faith in the idea that that could indeed be what's happening.
Yeah.
But I like it. I just love this scene. I love it when he's tender to Eli. I just love it. Like, you know, he appreciates being able to see Destiny finally from the outside.
Apologizes. And I think that the reason that he's saying thank you is because that confirmed his theory and he knows they're going to live now.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
He sees it. There's a shot of him turning to look at the Kino.
Right.
And his face just changes. And then he very matter-of-factly says, thank you, Eli. I never thought I'd get to see the ship from the outside. and he's got this smile on his face as he is like, I'm going to go read a terrible book.
Do you think that he, like, noticed, like, maybe the energy collectors and was able to maybe suppose that's what those were? But he would never have been able to guess that before because, A, he couldn't figure out what's on the ship because there's no power to sense what's on the ship.
Yeah, he couldn't be sure.
Right.
And he couldn't also,
I don't think,
like,
he could be sure here now either, right? But
no, but, yeah. He had a better idea. He has the most experience with weird ancient technology of any of them. And so, yeah, there may be knowledge that he has or a shape that he recognized on the outside of the ship or something.
And I like that theory. I like that idea. Because I just don't think he knew from the start. There's no way he did. He was too upset by everything.
No, he was definitely not happy about it. And he still doesn't want to give, like, Eli and Chloe that hope.
No, and I think that's responsible. I think he's not sure.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't want to tell anyone until he knows.
Yeah, he has hope in his heart, but he definitely doesn't want to.
Right.
Well, and also, I think he knows there's no way they could get the shuttle back safely now. And if he started telling people, you know, it would be very confusing if he started telling people, no, I figured it out. Like,
Right. Yeah. No, that's true. Well, I still like this scene just because he is so, I mean, regardless of whether he knew or not, he's tender with Eli. Like, I do think he feels remorse that he put this kid in this situation.
Yeah.
I think
he's calm and he's kind, and
I think him being honest with how they're gonna die is also a sign of respect. Like, he doesn't say it's gonna be quick. He says, well, this is how it's probably gonna happen, and I hope it's gonna be quick, but I can't tell you for sure. Yeah. And people want to know that more than anything. I don't think people like to be lied to at the end.
Especially Eli. I think he's, especially having gone through his mom's illness, like, and being a kid through most of that, I assume he's had both kinds of doctors, right? Like, he's had the ones that are like, no, your mom's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And he definitely prefers, like, well, it's going to be rough, and here's what's going to happen.
It just makes everyone so much more complicated, and I love it. Yay, complicated characters.
Yeah.
Because, like, this episode, you think, there's no way Rush could be a there's no way he's a bad guy. There's just no way. No. But then, and yet, somehow,
by the end of this, they make you doubt him.
Right? Well, I started to, but then I rewatched it, and I'm like, no, I don't. But, they continue to make you doubt him every episode for very legitimate reasons. And you forget that there's plenty of moments of honesty and sincerity and caring about people.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that he does not emote that honesty and that caring.
Right.
Nearly as strongly as he emotes distrust and caginess.
He does look like Rumpelstiltskin, so.
Rumpelstiltskin looks like Dr. Nicholas Rush.
All right.
So
Chloe leans on Eli. I thought that was sweet.
It is. I feel bad for Eli, but he does pivot pretty quickly from wanting to be her boyfriend to just being a supportive friend.
And that's good. Good role model, Eli.
So, yeah, I do like him.
I like that Young and Greer are talking.
Yeah, Young and Greer have a real nice, honest conversation.
Right. And that's where we find out that Greer punched Telford, and that Young hates Telford.
Yep.
But we don't know what Telford did.
Just that he had it coming.
Just that he had it. Well, he definitely did have it coming. But it's sweet in a way that at the end that Young treats Greer as a friend as opposed to an officer.
Yeah. Well, and it's very meaningful to who Greer is, that the one thing he wants to, he wants to say is, I'm sorry I disappointed you. Like he feels that even though he did what he thought was right, he feels bad to have disappointed his commanding officer. And I love that conversation. I love the end of it. I love the first names. Like, yeah, anyway.
I like it. The Ronald's a funny name.
Ronald is a weird name, but not as weird as Everett. Having lived in the city of Everett, Washington, let me tell you.
Yeah, I don't think I've met an Everett. I think I've read them in, old Western books that take place in the 1880s.
I've read them in modern British fan fiction. But
oh, dear Everett. He spilled coffee all over that tablecloth.
Yeah, he's the sort of person that would be friends with Arthur Pendragon.
So, in any case, Young does his documentary. It's to Emily.
Yeah, which is almost sad to me. I'm like, I understand.
But Emily's done with you, man.
Yeah, I wish he had something more meaningful.
The whole time he's just scared. And I like that. Like, you know, he puts on a bold front. But, like, when he does documentary, it doesn't add a lot of meaning to who he is. And it's to someone who's really angry. And then the rest of the time he's just lying in bed, like, terrified out of his mind.
Yeah, I mean, when you compare this to an episode of Stargate Atlantis I just watched.
Yeah.
Where they have this flashback to an alternate history where, like, Atlantis never rose and everyone died.
Oh, shit.
And there's a long scene. They do the same thing. McKay comes up with a way to transmit stuff back to Earth. And Weir has this long scene where you see her just recording a message back to Earth for every single person who has died on the expedition. Like, directed to their family about what they achieved and how they were respected by their peers.
Oh, and yeah, Young should have done that.
For every person. And I'm like, instead for Young, we get, oh, wifey, I miss you so much. I wish that I hadn't come here.
Sorry.
And I'm like, that's how everybody feels, honey. I understand, but...
Right. At least you got to talk to your wife. I'm betting Camille didn't even get to talk to Sharon.
No, we haven't seen Camille go back yet anyway.
No. So... but why does Young take off his ring?
I assume it's something to do with the fact that he's going to die. Or maybe it's that he finally said goodbye. Does he put it back on after this?
You can't tell, because you only see his back.
Okay. But I wonder if maybe recording this message finally made him feel like...
Maybe he realized that it's done.
Yeah. I mean, what's crazy is he sends this message to Emily, but he doesn't say anything in it.
No, he doesn't.
He tries. He sends Eli out of the room. And then he's still, even alone with himself, he can't express his emotions.
You know what's even more interesting, though, is that this wouldn't go on to the Kino that has all the other messages.
No, these are Kinos they're leaving on the ship.
But they think the ship is going to get torn apart.
Oh, yeah.
So this is just a letter to nothing.
Maybe. Maybe they think the ship might survive, but would be too violently hot.
And then people would get thrown around. Maybe. I don't know. I wonder why Greer gets naked, but I appreciate it.
I have the exact same feeling.
I don't get why, but I know it's important to you, and I like looking at it.
I assume it's something to do with, like, leaving the world the same way you came into it.
He does have a real spiritual quality to him, I guess.
Yeah.
Huh.
We see, you know, the scientists playing cards, because what else do you do on your way to the apocalypse?
Yeah.
And some other people saying prayers.
That Matt said.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's a good little summary of How do we go to our end? Do we try to ignore it, pretend it's not coming?
What would I do? I like Rush's solution of just reading.
Yeah, just read.
But I like Eli and Chloe's solution of just being together. So I don't know.
What I like, it's very, what Rush does is very decadent for Rush, right? Like he is laying down, he's listening to music, so wasting what little battery power he has in some speakers.
Reading a book that has no point to it whatsoever.
Yeah, and actually letting himself, you know, not be doing work, not be focused.
Yeah.
For the first time since he was unconscious.
Right.
Yeah, Young takes off his wedding ring and cries.
Yeah, poor Young. I'm so hard on Young, I feel like I need to express that. I do feel sympathy for him.
Yeah.
So back on the shuttle, it's kind of sad over there too, because Riley's, you know how Riley was talking about it was supposed to be his birthday?
Yeah, so this is episode midnight before. Becoming day four since they've been on Destiny, and it's Riley's birthday.
He didn't think he was going to make it to 30. as much as 3 hours ago, right?
Yeah.
And now he's just sitting here suffering from so much survivor's guilt and going, like, was this worth turning 30 for?
Yeah.
I like that it shows Rey knows about the people on the ship, though, that she knows.
Yeah. And that's useful. That's an important...
Yeah.
It's an important piece of information to have, especially when they, you know, they don't have all the files and things they would normally have from Earth.
Right.
You know, they don't have a database where they can just go, oh, hey, how old is Scott again? Like,
I never know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I think they says it. It's like 26 or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think he was 26, Chloe's 23.
Yeah.
So, on the shuttle, Scott has Brody look at their scans of the planet, and
not
Brody
good.
Basically says, not good.
Like, they'll survive, but it's not gonna be good survival.
Yeah, it's not gonna be fun, and I start getting this very Donner Party feeling, right?
Like, right. Brody's face. Who?
Yeah, Brody's face definitely says, like, yeah, survive, sure. Like, right. Define survive.
I like Brody because he just takes everything so matter-of-factly, always. And I just appreciate that dryness to him.
Yeah.
So, anyways, oh, do you want to talk about that scene anymore?
No, it's kind of scary. And
I just like that it's a shitty situation for everybody involved. Yeah. So Young is terrified in bed, like, clutching and not looking happy.
Yeah.
Rush is disappointed in the ending of his book.
Well, and I think, and then just so delighted to see that the power is starting to come back on. Like, they're not dead.
See, for me, like, I like your theory that he might have had a fairly good idea of it when he was talking to Eli and Chloe. But to me, this is so unfaked. Like, to me, he really wasn't sure. And he is just happy to be wrong. Like, the first time in his life, I'm sure he's ever been happy to be wrong.
And he says it. Yeah. Like, he's just so, he's so honestly delighted. And it's, you know, maybe it's in his own hypothesis being proven. Maybe it's in the ship, you know, fulfilling his faith in it again.
Yeah. It's, there's just no way he knew. But I have many words about that later because we're still not to that scene.
Yeah. So Destiny is recharging on star power, which is like maybe one of the coolest twists I can remember ever seeing in a show.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you knew something had to get fixed, but I thought they were going to make Eli Wesley Crusher it, you know? Like, oh, did we think about that? I don't know, maybe mice are on here and we can make them work up double time on the wheels? Like, I don't know. Something random.
Greer has a very surprised, weird look when the lights come on. Franklin comes out of his room again in the same way that he came out when the lights went out and to, like, pointlessly tell Young that the lights are on and ask what's happening. And all Young says is, stand by.
Oh, poor Franklin.
Yeah, he tries so hard to be involved.
He just can't. And, like, it's so sad because he's been consistently in every episode, and yet fans can barely remember who he is when he dies a couple episodes from now.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, wait, who's this guy? Is he a new character? And you're like, he's been there since the beginning. Poor Franklin.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that I only remember his name from, like, discussions much later in Force Over Distance, like, it does make me feel slightly bad, but
yeah, sorry. So then Destiny unfortunately starts accelerating away from the shuttle, so it can't read Rush's mind that much and doesn't think it's a good idea to wait for those 15 people to come back.
I mean, it's very odd what the ship does and doesn't know,
decide is important,
right?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it has some kind of conscious awareness that there are life forms on board it.
Right. Well, obviously, they triggered a lot of things that made it very aware that people were on it, so then it needed to start...
No, but it started waking up when the gate was dialed, like...
Oh, that's true. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's the gate that's in the...
Yeah, exactly.
In the hardware programming.
I guess there's just... There was no protocol in the coding that told it, like, don't speed up until shuttle returns. Or it figured people would be able to manually use it. And that's the interesting thing about SGU, is they have no control over the ship.
Yeah, for quite a while here.
Yeah.
Is it not until the end of season one?
Not until the end of season one, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Yep, they have no control over the ship.
Ever, no.
Ever. It's all done.
My only thought for that was just, no, Lisa Park can't die.
Yeah, to lose Park and TJ and Ray?
Yeah.
Dear God, please no. And James.
But it's such a good plot twist, though, isn't it? Like, to consign the people that are supposed to live, they're the ones that are gonna die. Like, oh my God, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I was just awestruck, gobsmacked, when that happened. The first time I saw it.
You're like, suddenly you have this reverse where people that you were so happy to have be on the ship.
Right.
And you're like, okay, maybe something else is going to happen.
Yeah.
Suddenly they're the ones that are horribly in danger.
Yeah.
And we get some awesome, Eli and Rush doing math and trusting each other and being great.
Rush is very close to not trusting him, but I do love it. Like, I just, like, dude, math boy.
Yeah, no, Rush is like, wait, are you sure? And the look he, like, gives him is basically like, you couldn't do it better, so shut up.
Right, no, yeah, it's like, who solved the ninth chevron?
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't you, Rush. I mean, at least Rush had the idea to do the slingshot thing. And he cuts out the middleman. He just doesn't even check with Young first. He just says, go to back. He doesn't even tell Young what he's doing. He just says, go to the planet, head to the planet and just do it.
Yeah.
Because Rush ain't got no time for that shit, ever.
Yeah.
I do love that Eli's like, oh my God, why am I watching this on TV? And he, like, runs to the deck to see it happen.
Yeah, Eli, this is a good episode for Eli.
Yeah. This is when I start to like him a lot.
Yeah, Air Part 3 was not a good episode for Eli. Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. I don't think Darkness was either, a little bit, but...
Yeah, it wasn't great.
I just don't like his, like... I mean, yes, you can be interested in women, Eli. But I just didn't like, you know, Kino looking in on James and, you know...
Yeah, the tone is a little...
It was just so weird. It was just weird. Anyways, yes, Eli, yay!
Eli, yay. I did just notice that Rush still wears his wedding ring, which I think we knew, but... I'm having a moment.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. He still has his wedding ring on, but Young takes his off.
Yeah.
But there's no comparison to their wives and how their wives were, like, affected their lives, I don't think. I don't think the story has ever made any conscious effort on that part to make parallels.
Yeah, I mean, they're both...
They're both sacrificed to the Stargate program, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, they're both these men that have given up everything else for the program.
But
Gloria
was going to die no matter what, so who knows?
Yeah, we'll discuss Gloria in human, I'm sure.
Yeah, yes, that'd be weird if we didn't. So, Destiny's coming up too fast. Oh, hooray, they did it. That's my good narration of the events. Young is so happy.
Yeah, Young is so happy. He touches Rush. He make jokes with Scott about, you know, having... Basically like you would with a teenager who beat up the car.
Right.
Like, I barely scratched it. Like, there is that kind of sad for Eli moment where Chloe finds out that they're back and, like, just runs away from Eli to get back to Scott.
Yeah, I don't blame her for that. I don't think it's poor... It's only poor Eli in that, you know, he's probably just in the grips of still getting over her.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a whole day. Maybe 3 or 4
probably
hours.
Probably less of a day. And then he was gonna die, so he didn't have to come to grips with it.
Yeah. He was going to die and Chloe was there with him.
Right,
so
right.
So he kind of won for a minute. And then he didn't.
I don't know if that's winning, but sure. So yeah, they're all talking in the cafeteria. I do love the making fun of Scott's piloting. Like, he saved the day and they're just like, oh man, you suck.
Yeah. I love any time that the whole crew is together and, like, bonding. That's my favorite.
Yeah, but then Rush ruins it. But
Of course, yeah.
I understand why he did. I really do. But, you know, so, like, you know, Young, you know, offers him a second and a third ration. And you can just see the wheels in Rush's head clicking to him thinking, you're wielding too much power already. Like, you... Like, you don't get to just decide. Like, when before you were doing lotteries, and now you're like, oh, everyone here has some extra rations. I think to him, he's feeling that Young is a fascist again.
Which is weird, because Young doesn't mean it that way at all.
Yeah, but Rush perceives it that way. Yeah. At least I think he does.
He does, yeah, and he says as much, that, you know, we're to be rewarded at your whim, because he doesn't feel like he did anything.
Right.
And that's when Young is like, here, let me tell you all the reasons you're actually a good dude.
And then somehow he doubts himself. I don't know why.
Yeah. So he's trying to be nice.
Yeah.
To Rush. And Rush, being Rush, just, like, refutes everything that he says.
Right, because he's a contrary little ass.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Rush, I mean, there's no doubt that Rush ruined it all. But I can kind of see why. I think he's trying to... When they were going to die, it didn't matter who had the power in the situation, right? They were equalized by it. And now that they're going to keep surviving, Rush doesn't want Young to think that he has any control over him. So whether that's getting extra rations for being a good dog or anything like that, he just doesn't want that relationship back because it's not useful to him. It's controlling of him.
Oh, interesting.
That's my opinion. I have a lot more opinions about this scene I can totally go into.
Yeah, well, it makes sense in context, I guess.
I'm never going to say I'm as smart as Rush is, but I swear to God I understand his thinking processes. I think we have very similar ideas of interacting with people, which sucks because it's not
Rush
a good way to interact with
it.
People. Yeah, I'm awful.
I mean, what I don't understand is why Rush wouldn't sit down with them and have a moment.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like, I mean, I do understand because he's Rush and he's a dark and tortured anti-hero.
I mean, the only reason I can think of is that he didn't feel welcome before, and so he doesn't see why this would change anything.
And that's so hard. Like, he must know. He must be able to look at that table and see that that's everybody he wants to be allied with.
Right.
On this ship, everybody that can make his life easier, everybody that's gonna help him, like Eli already is.
Well, he's surprisingly self-destructive. I think
he
self-sabotages. I really do.
He absolutely does.
And, you know, maybe being close to people, and I know this is a common excuse, but it's common because it happens all the time. Maybe being close to people is actually scarier to him than keeping them at bay.
Well, that's true.
And it didn't matter before because they were all going to die.
Yeah.
Which is also proof that I don't think Rush knew at all.
Yeah. Well, and I think he's, once again, Rush being, like, 10 steps ahead and 2 steps to the side.
Yeah.
He knows that whatever problems they have now, like, whatever problems they had before they were flying into a star,
they still have them.
They still have them, or they're worse.
Yeah.
Like, period. There's no reason to celebrate because they still need to be working.
Yeah, I think we've got a good couple reasons why he didn't join them or want the extra rations.
It's just, I want to see that show.
So here, the people being friendly. It might have happened in season 3.
Yeah, I want to see the show where, like, they're the leverage team and they work together.
Well, if we ever had a season 3, I bet that's what it would be.
Yeah, we can hope.
So I have one more theory about all of that.
Yes.
About Rush maybe knowing or not. I'm saying, I think if Rush suspected, he didn't say anything because it's how he was controlling the situation outside of Young. And what I mean by that is that he felt that the maximum possibility for survival would be to split up the crew.
And oh, absolutely.
So, if Young starts to suspect that Rush always knew, or at least suspected that might be the case, Young is pissed, because Rush still managed to have control over everyone without being in power, as he continually does.
Mm.
And Young can't have that, for very good reasons. Young needs to be, if he's the one who's assigned as the leader of the expedition, he has to be the leader without worrying that he's going to be undermined.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I wonder if that's running through Young's mind. Is like, that pragmatic son of a bitch managed to get around me again.
Yeah, well, and what I don't know is why Rush wouldn't even put forth the energy when confronted with that.
He just doesn't like Young.
Yeah, like, so Young says, unless you knew all along, and Rush just gives him this snide little look and walks off.
You know why? It's because Rush doesn't think he needs to comment on it. He thinks that it's such a bullshit suggestion. I think that's why he did that look, like, fuck off. Because, you know, if he responds to it, it still makes him look guilty. No matter what, he looks guilty in that situation.
No, if you just go, how could I possibly have known?
Yeah.
Like, Eli didn't know. You didn't know. No one, Brody and Volker and everybody else didn't know.
Right. I think
he could have been slightly less snotty about it.
Well, self-sabotage, that's what he does.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we can't pretend like every character has to be rational in their thoughts. Like, yes, he's pragmatic about most things, but as we've discussed, he is a mess when dealing with other people. He sucks at it. But weirdly manipulative at the same time.
Yeah. And then Eli defends Rush, and...
Good.
Even Greer and TJ tell him to let it go, and...
Right? That's what I was like, yeah, listen to Johansson. So many problems are going to crop up because you won't let this go.
Yeah. And Young says that Rush is a lot of work. And again. That's the end. Again.
That was a pretty bad day.
it was a real bad day. But everybody lived, so.
So do you have final thoughts for the episode?
I just like Rush a lot. I understand that I'm playing Young's side of things today a lot, but...
No, you're right, though. I love Rush, too, but you're right.
And I think that he was very... I think that they miss, and by they I mean, like, Young and people, miss a huge part of Rush's character because they get distracted by this, like, well, if you chose to stay, you must have suspected all along that you'd live... I think Rush wants to die.
I think he does, too.
And there is no... On Earth, he didn't want to. But on Destiny, if Destiny is gone, why wouldn't he want to die with the ship?
Right.
And he... You know, of course, he's not going to say that because somebody's going to believe he's suicidal and question not, his...
Exactly.
Question his rationality and all that. Like, yeah. I think that they're missing that by thinking he must have had an ulterior motive.
Well, they're pulling what we pulled with Greer the first time we watched this show, right? Like, we had him written down to a characteristic, and that's just who he was, and kind of and just ignored all the interesting, complicated bits of information that the writers gave us. And it's almost like they're doing that to Rush in a similar way.
Yeah.
You know, you always have an ulterior motive, so we always have to suspect you. Even though you saved our ass 4 times.
Yeah.
Because he still kind of saves the day, even on this episode, right? He's the one that immediately takes action, says head towards the planet, while Eli gets the math done.
Yeah.
Eli didn't say that.
Comes up with that, with the plan that could work anyway, right?
Like, right.
And he comes up with the plan and he immediately prioritizes. Like,
right.
Okay, first thing, get them pointed in the right direction. Second thing, get the calculations done.
Right.
You know, then tell everybody what's going on because it'll take too freaking long.
And that's just like Air Part 3. Yep. I can't remember in Light. No, Light, he's basically unconscious.
Well, but... Light, he tried though, right?
Sorry, not Light, like, Darkness. Darkness.
Oh, sorry. Darkness, he
really tried, but he couldn't.
Yeah, they might have had hours of extra function and time to explore the database and whatever.
Right.
Had his orders that he apparently wrote in his head without telling anyone about been followed.
Because it's, to him it was so obvious. And that's okay. I've worked for that person. It is awful.
I'm Nicholas Rush. I turned off a machine. No one should turn it back on without asking me specifically.
For I am the dictator of science.
Yeah. All the science passes through me.
Right. But he certainly saves... I still think it's... I think it's debatable with Air Part 1 and Part 2 if he did the right thing. But I do think he... did the right thing that he, like, he just, I mean, we're not going to go through that reasoning again. It was, like, 15 minutes of it, right?
Yeah.
But, like, so far, consistently, he has shown that he is in the, is working in the best interests of the ship and the people on the ship. And for some reason, they keep suspecting him. And they suspect him so well, it makes us suspect him. And it's so frustrating, but it's so good.
Yes. All of those things.
All of those things. I guess those were my final thoughts. I didn't realize they were, but I guess they were.
I think Rush wants to live on the ship or not live without the ship.
Right.
And if you view everything in the context of that, it makes a lot more sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Though... there's that time, you know, where Young's like, if you want someone to get in the chair so much, you get in the chair. And Rush balks at that, but with good reason, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the
chair is a whole other thing. We'll get there.
So, yeah, that's all I got. What do you, anything more from him?
No, I think I'm good. That was darkness.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, that was light. And this has been Charlie Foxtrot.
If you have any questions, just head on over to sdupodcast@tumblr.com and ask us anything you want.
Yeah. All right. All the things.
Bye.
Bye.